David's early reign as king of Israel was marked by military success. As you read his story, you see God giving him victory after victory. But prestige isn't what makes a person great. We're going to see that today as we explore 2 Samuel chapters 8 through 10 together. The truly great person is the one who's gracious to others. Stephen Davey called the lesson you're about to hear, Military Victory and a Touch of Grace.
Now in our last session together, we listened in as God promised to bless the house of David and his descendants forever. Of course, this is all looking forward to the coming Messiah, the greater son of David. Now here in chapter 8, we're told of one military victory after another for King David. These victories are expanding the borders of Israel. They're strengthening the kingdom rule of David. In fact, twice here in chapter 8 at verse 6 and again at verse 14, we read this, "The Lord gave victory to David wherever he went." David is going to defeat the Philistines. He's going to defeat the Moabites. Now, you might remember that David has been on good terms with Moab. He even sent his parents to live there for their protection during Saul's reign back in 1 Samuel chapter 22. So something has clearly changed then, although we don't know what brought that about. There is an extra biblical tradition that says that David's parents were killed by the Moabites, but there's no historical confirmation of that. All we know is that they're now enemies. Well, here in verse 3 of 2 Samuel chapter 8, David defeats Hadadezer, king of a small territory of Zobah. Verse 5 tells us that when the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David struck down 22,000 men of the Syrians. Now, this means that Israel's power is expanding to Damascus, which is now going to pay tribute to Israel. So as a result of all of these victories, David's kingdom is being enriched, frankly, with gold and silver and bronze. And verse 11 tells us that David dedicates all of this to the Lord. Next, David gains a victory over Edom in the south, adding to even more territory to the kingdom of Israel. Now, as I said earlier, verse 14 reminds us that the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. This is the Lord's doing. And by the way, David isn't just succeeding with a sword. He's a very capable leader as well. Verse 15 says, "David administered justice and equity to all his people." Well, over in the book of 1 Chronicles, we're given the same information that Samuel gives us here in these chapters. It's one victory after another. But 2 Samuel interrupts all these victories to show us a rather wonderful touch of grace on the part of David. 2 Samuel chapter 9 opens with David asking, "Is there still anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now imagine this. Here's David at the height of his power. He's enjoying success on every front. He's building a famous reputation, fortune in the kingdom. Now usually these kind of people aren't interested in showing kindness or grace to others, especially to the family of a former enemy. David is no doubt remembering a vow he made to his best friend, Prince Jonathan, years before in 1 Samuel chapter 20. David promises King Saul's son back then that he will deal kindly with his descendants when he ascends the throne of Israel. David's sincere in this promise, and now he's been so blessed by God that he wants to bless somebody else. In fact, he says here in verse 3, "Is there not still someone of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God to him?" Well, a former staff member of King Saul's household named Ziba is brought forward, and he tells David about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth is Jonathan's own son. He's the grandson of King Saul. Ziba tells David that Mephibosheth is still alive, but Ziba is quick to add here in verse 3, he is crippled in his feet. Now, back in chapter 4, we were told that Mephibosheth was injured accidentally at age 5 when his nurse was fleeing with him following the news that Saul and Jonathan had been killed in battle. Now, why is she running with this little boy in her arms? Well, the custom was for the new king to kill all the family members of the old king or the previous king to get rid of any potential rivals. And since Saul and Jonathan are both dead, Mephibosheth, he's the potential heir to the throne. So she's thinking, well, David's going to do what Saul would have done. So this nurse is running away with this little boy in her arms to save his life. And while she's running, she drops him. He's permanently injured in his legs. And, well, he grows up now. He's in hiding, but he's a young man. When called before David, Mephibosheth obviously is terrified. And when he arrives, he bows and proclaims himself to be David's servant. David's response here in chapter 9 and verse 7 probably shocked him and everyone else. David says, "Do not fear, for I will show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat at my table always." Now, let me tell you, beloved, Mephibosheth has absolutely nothing to offer David. There's no benefit to David showing this kind of favor to this young man, but that's exactly what David does. You see, this is an illustration of grace. Grace is undeserved favor. Grace is never earned. It is simply received. Grace is showing favor and compassion to someone then who can't pay you back. Grace is treating people like God has treated us. While we were still sinners, the Bible says, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. We didn't earn this. We didn't deserve this grace. But God has given us forgiveness and eternal life with him as a gift of grace. Well, David restores to Mephibosheth all the land that belonged to Saul. And then he appoints Ziba and his sons and servants to become caretakers of his fields. Verse 11 tells us, Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. As that old song lyric goes, we were once enemies of God the Father, but we are now seated at his table of grace. What a great illustration. Well, now with that, we're in chapter 10 of 2 Samuel, where David now attempts to show grace and kindness to another individual, in fact, another king. David learns of the death of the reigning king of Ammon. Now, this kingdom lays well to the east of the Jordan River. David wants to express his respect for the late king Nahash and offer his condolences because, as it says here in verse 2, Nahash had dealt loyally, or that is, with kindness toward David. Now, more than likely, Nahash had offered David protection at times when Saul was chasing after him. So David sent a friendly delegation to the new king, Hanan, the son of Nahash. But verse 3 informs us that Hanan's advisors see this as an attempt to search the city and spy it out to overthrow it. You see, they think that David's delegation is up to no good here. So instead of a warm welcome, verse 4 tells us, they took David's servants and shaved off half the beard of each, and cut off their garments in the middle at their hips and sent them away. Now, in the ancient world, this was incredibly humiliating treatment. In fact, this is the treatment you gave to prisoners of war. Now, if that's not enough to provoke the wrath of King David, King Hunan goes, we're told here, and he hires 33,000 Syrian soldiers to join them to go back and fight Israel. We're told that under General Joab's leadership, the Israelites defeat these armies. There's then another battle with the Syrians. Verse 19 records for us that they again are defeated. And David, at this point, allows them to sign a peace treaty with Israel, which was another gracious act. These chapters are revealing a victorious and powerful king, King David, but also showing us what it looks like to be a kind and gracious man. You know what we ought to do? We ought to become a little more like David in showing grace to others, since we've received amazing grace from our Heavenly Father. And let me tell you, when you treat others with grace, it might surprise them, but it will point them to a victorious Savior who offers them what they could never earn and do not deserve, a peace treaty and an invitation as members of the family of God to the table of grace. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Every person you encounter today is an opportunity for you to put into practice what you've just learned. Use those encounters as an opportunity to demonstrate grace. If you or someone you know is interested in theological training, Stephen is the president of Shepherd's Theological Seminary. There's a link to Shepherd's on our website, wisdomonline.org. Learn about the in-person and online options for you to study God's Word. Do that today, then join us next time as we continue the wisdom journey.